Well, that was, as I promised, an hour. Thank you. I hope that the text messaging worked and that all of you were not too inconvenienced by our longer than expected closed session. We're now going to move to President's Report number 96. However, before we do that, I need to ask if there is a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
There's a motion. There's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion is approved. The items on the consent agenda are now approved. That leads us to the President's Report number 96, and I turn the table over to Dr. Baker.
Thank you. I'd like to extend my thanks to the three individuals recognized this morning who are leaving the institution. Mike Malone, who we celebrated at the Red and Black last week, and who's been here for how many years? Is it 31. Holy cow. An amazing career that really moved the institution forward, and it was wonderful to celebrate it at the Red and Black event 2 weeks ago now, I guess. And also we had a great foundation board meeting that Mike helped lead as well, and really a lot of support leaning forward trying to help us in these challenging times. Ray, we're going to hear from here in a second, and I want to thank Ray for all his hard work, and I'll say a few more words about that when we get to the Nan Kai item, the next one. And Leslie Rigg, who's served as the Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships, RIPS as she calls it. And Leslie, I've really enjoyed working with you. You've really gotten us moving forward in many ways, and I think the item today about the Iger Lab is one example how we're thinking more broadly than just research, but the impact of research and how we reach out and help communities around the state to thrive and grow. So congratulations to you. Good luck in Calgary, eh? All right, let's move to the action items, if we could. And the first one is Nan Kai Northern Illinois International College. And this is an issue, we've had some contact with Nan Kai University over the years, but Ray and his crew have really worked hard over the last year to bring to fruition a collaborative program in political science that's really gonna help us expand our enrollments, but more importantly, diversify our campus with quite a few students from China in essentially a 2+2 kind of program. Ray, do you want to share any details on the program?
Since most of you heard about project when we talked about it at the committee meeting, I don't want to go into details, but we have been negotiating with Nan Kai leadership for much of the last year, and this program will be largely a 2+2 program, although we will be sending faculty over to China to teach some of the students who cannot afford to come here. But we do have three degrees, actually, two in political science, one with a public administration focus, which will also include people from the Department of Public Administration, one with international politics, and one with financial economics. So those are the three degrees. But this is the start of what could be a very much expanded college. The Nan Kai leadership has indicated that once the Ministry of Education in China has approved the concept of the college, they use the analogy, that's the basket you put the fruit in. We have three pieces of fruit in the basket. Once they approve the formation of the basket, then we can fill it with whatever fruit both institutions feel. We have commonalities in degrees where we can offer these double degree opportunities. And these students will be recruited from all over China, since Nan Kai is a top 10 university there. And this will be English only, and with the destination being a degree from both Nan Kai and from a U.S. institution, our institution. So we think it'll have a lot of cachet.
Any questions from the board members?
Ray,
The group of students that a couple of weeks ago we had lunch with,
yes.
were they from Nankai?
No, they were from Jason Hong Bang's university's, the College of Mobile Telecommunications and the College of Information in Chongqing and Chongqing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ray, and I think this is an excellent example about building pipelines rather than onesies and twosies of students, but building strong relationships with an excellent institution that should benefit both schools and students over time. So with that, I would ask for approval of this item to support the Nankai Northern University International College.
All right, trustees, we have a motion and we have a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
The next item that is not on the consent agenda, that's still on this agenda, is number six. The FY15 physical plant contracted electrical services open order amendment. So this is for electrical services as needed and is an open order as we come across things that need to be worked on. And it's an amendment for a new order total of $409,000. So I would move for board approval of the expenditure authority up to that level.
So moved.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion of this item? Trustee Strauss.
I simply like to request a roll call vote on this one.
Trustee Strauss would like a roll call vote. Are there any other interest in discussing this item part of the board? Seeing none, Ms. Odom.
Trustee Robert Boyd.
Yes.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Trustee Anthony Iasco.
Yes.
Trustee Robert Marshall?
Yes.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mark Strauss?
Yes.
Student Trustee Paul Julian?
Yes.
And Board Chair John Butler?
Yes.
The motion has passed. We can move to the next item.
Thank you. The next item is number nine, fiscal year 16 student health insurance fee. Students may waive the health insurance fee if they show proof of comparable health insurance, but for those who don't, they are required to have health insurance. Last year, students paid $759. This year, after an extensive RFP process, the best bid came in at $1,052. This significant increase reflects the impact of the Affordable Care Act. They looked at a variety of options, trying to move up and down co-pays, deductibles, and service coverages, and this is the best price that we got, looking at all those factors. Are there any questions from the board?
Are there questions from the board on this item? Trustee Marshall.
If this is an annual event, do we have the opportunity to broaden the number of vendors that'll be working on next year?
There were, Eric, how many vendors have submitted RFPs this year?
Five.
We had five this year, and we can certainly try and get more. Michelle Danza, our new procurement person, I think is good at getting the word out broadly, and we'll work with her to do that.
My question is if perhaps Vice President Weldy may wish to address this. I know there's been some attention on this item by the student newspaper and so forth. Is there a more detail that you could provide as to what has led to the increase? I mean, obviously, it is the Affordable Care Act and the provisions under that act, but is there more detail?
Yes, thank you very much, Trustee Butler. The main driving force behind the increase has to do with the Affordable Care Act and the requirements that institutions are asked to put forth in regards to coverage for students.
And so we know the Affordable Care Act provides for a number of provisions. For example, there'd be no annual maximum cost. Which is a significant increase in the risk that the insurance company's taking, that would contribute to a substantial increase in the cost. Is that not correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And there's also mental health parity. Does that figure into this as well?
Mental health, as well as no pre-existing clause in regards to previous ailments as well. Hospitalizations, emergency services, lab services, and a number of other things are listed in regards to coverage.
Okay. Trustees, any other comments or questions on this item? I know that the Affordable Care Act is going to have a dramatic impact on a lot of what used to be low-cost health insurance programs like this one. It's always been something we've been very pleased to be able to provide our students, and one of the reasons we've been so pleased is because it's been so reasonable, but the Act does require us to provide a certain level of coverage, and we don't have any choice around that. Okay, trustees, any other questions? Seeing none, all those, is there a motion? There's not a motion.
I will make a motion to approve the recommendation on this item in the printed materials.
Trustee Strauss's motion to approve this item, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion other than what we've already had? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes.
Thank you. The next item is related. It's the university providing group health insurance funded by the insurance fee and to students and their families. We did the RFP in November. We opened the proposals, the RFP proposals, and have come up with this contract. So we now need to expend those authorities with academic health plans in Texas. So we would ask for approval of the expenditure authority to pay the money to fulfill the contract.
So moved.
There's a motion and there's a second. Is there any discussion of this item? Mr. Blakemore, is there any reason why we need a roll call vote given Trustee Coleman's abstention in the committee meeting?
No.
No. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes.
The next item is number 27. It's on page 42 of the document. And this is the honorary doctorate, our recommendation for an honorary doctorate. We would want to honor Dr. Nigel Locklear. Dr. Locklear is the director of the Fermi National Accelerator Lab. He's an acclaimed physicist and has done extensive work on a particle known as the bottom quark. It's a major breakthrough in physics, and he is the director of that lab and has been an outstanding person working across institutions on big science projects in physics, and we think he's a very deserving candidate. We present his credentials for your consideration for this honorary doctorate.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve this? There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion by the board members? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you. The next item, or the last action item, is number 28, and this is the main campus steam tunnel emergency repair. We got into a project and found a number of things that went beyond what we originally thought it would by a significant amount. And Al can give us the details if you want any of the details, but it turns out when you get into steam tunnels and you fix one thing, you see a bunch of other things that have to be repaired because of what you've uncovered, and that's what's happened in this case. So I would move the board approve the expenditure authority for this item for $259,000 for steam tunnel repair.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the action item's approved. Now we move to university reports. And Dr. Baker, you still have the floor.
Okay, so we're going to C then?
Yes, we're going to page 70, the appointment of the treasurer.
Right. Oh, do we have 12?
I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh, yes, that was the item that I didn't circle. My apologies on that. This is the number 12, and this is the, it may be a loose one that you've got in your folders.
This is an information item, item B12. It's titled Tuition Reimbursement Program for the PhD in Health Sciences. This is the first time the board has considered this item.
Lisa, would you mind giving us the background on this?
Certainly. Thank you. This is an information item because we will be preparing appropriate draft additions related to this item for the Board of Trustees regulations for a presentation at the next board meeting for your approval, and wanted to just start the conversation today. You may remember that both the Illinois Board of Higher Education and this board approved a very exciting program, an interdisciplinary PhD in health sciences, a program that's truly cutting edge in its nature and that addresses both national and regional workforce needs by allowing people who are working as health professionals, for example, physical therapists or nurses, other members of the health professions, to pursue a doctoral degree that would qualify them to be faculty, and there is a significant faculty shortage in these areas. It's also a very exciting degree because it really shows our triangle strategic planning framework in action, because the way the program is envisioned to function, we'll have working health professionals sign up in these doctoral programs. They'll be in large part sponsored by their employers. And most of the projects that will be done, not all of them, but many, if not most of them, will be projects that are either community action-oriented research or an investigation of a hypothesis developed on the job, where the employer and the doctoral student and the university are really partnering to support the doctoral research. This very new type of doctoral program made us think that we really needed to provide a new and different employee benefit to our employees who wanted to participate in this program so that their experience would be more like those of other doctoral students who are being sponsored by employers, and so that the program would be sustainable over time and allow us to benefit from the training and development of growing our own doctorally prepared faculty in the health professions. So the way the program is envisioned to work, as always, when an employee wants to seek a tuition benefit, there'll be approval of a sponsoring unit and supervisor required. And in this case, that will be a relationship that's maintained throughout the doctoral program, and part of the agreement for getting tuition remission will be that the doctoral student agrees to stay at NAU for a specified period of time after receiving the doctoral degree, and it's envisioned that there would be one service credit equivalent year of employment in the sponsoring unit for every 33% of the cost of the program. Because this is a new benefit, a new way of doing tuition remission that we haven't done before for full-time employees, it would require modification of the board regulations to accommodate this, and so we wanted to let you know that this was coming forward. To date, I've had very brief conversations with Professor Pitney as the Executive Secretary of University Council, Deborah Hallixer as the leader of the SPS Council, and Jay Montero as the leader of Operating Staff Council. The initial reception was very positive, and as of course we will continue to have shared discussions with our shared governance units between now and when this item comes to the board next. So it's just an information item this go-round, but I would like to hear comments or questions from the board if I can be helpful in that regard.
Trustees, are there any comments or questions? Trustee Muir.
Well, I want to applaud this initiative. I think on many levels it addresses some of our most critical issues. One, the replenishing of doctoral students within the healthcare environment. I think that's really important, because what happens is that when you have an industry that is as volatile as the healthcare industry, as you indicated, you don't have the faculty positions because you don't have the doctorate. So I think on that level, that's very important to our sector. I think to look at a way in which to entice faculty members to remain at NIU once they've received their PhD, I think is really a brilliant strategy. Because we want to retain the best of our faculty. And giving them an enhanced benefit in order to be able to achieve the goals of which we are our those are our pillars, which is research and education. I think that's very compatible with it. So I think this is an excellent initiative. I think that it's well thought out. I applaud you for your political acumen to seek out the support of our major stakeholders and constituencies internally here at the university. I look forward to hearing more about this.
Other comments and questions related to this item? All right, this is an information item. We don't need to vote on it. We can move then to items directly from the president.
Thank you. That's item C. And the first is, number one, the appointment of the treasurer. With Nancy Suttonfield's departure and hiring of Al Phillips, we need to appoint him as the treasurer. So I recommend, in accordance with the university bylaws and Board of Trustees bylaws, that the board designate and appoint Dr. Alan Phillips to serve as the treasurer for the Board of Trustees effective March 1st, provided that Dr. Phillips furnishes a fidelity bond to the board in the amount of $500,000 to be secured by the State of Illinois Department of Central Management Services.
So moved.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
And the next one is hand in glove. That would be to appoint Dr. Phillips as the Vice President for Administration and Finance, and it might be a little awkward if he wasn't the Vice President of Administration and Finance, but be the Treasurer. But I would ask that he be officially appointed as of March 1st, 2015.
So moved.
I don't believe there's a motion and a second, and now it's time for discussion. I don't believe there is. You've had a chance to address us, have you?
Not officially.
Well, we typically give personnel at the vice presidential level a welcome and an opportunity to address the board. We may have needed to tell you this ahead of time, but you're welcome to offer any comments you'd like.
That's okay. I've been asked to do a lot of things I haven't been warned of beforehand. So, first of all, I can tell you how excited I am to be here and be a part of the NIU family. As some of you know, prior to being here, I worked for the Board of Higher Education. In that capacity, I had the opportunity to work with NIU over the past 4 years. In that time, I got to know a number of the people here, the senior leadership. I was very impressed with the individuals. I was also very impressed with the way the university was dealing with some very significant challenges that we currently face and trying to work with. These are people I wanted to work with. Since then, I've met a great number of other people, and I have not been disappointed. I'm delighted to be here. I think that NIU is a great institution. I'm honored to be a part of that institution, and I certainly look forward to working with the administration, the staff, the faculty, and the board to move NIU forward. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to become a part of the NIU family.
Thank you very much, Dr. Phillips. Are there any matters of discussion from the board? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, welcome Dr. Phillips.
Thank you. The next item is the appointment for the Vice President of Advancement and President of the NIU Foundation. At our, I guess it was the last committee meeting, Catherine Squires was here and gave a short introduction of herself. This notes that her effective start date would be May 1st. Mike and I have talked. She may want to be here just a little bit before that. And if that does change, I guess we can do that on a contractual basis. But we're asking that this officially be done on May 1st. And if we have to come back and amend that for a little bit earlier start, we will. Ms. Squires has served as the Chief Advancement Officer for the American Red Cross in Greater Chicago and is currently at Tufts University School of Medicine. She went through a rigorous search process, as did Al, and came out on top. We're very pleased to have her joining the university, and I would move we appoint her as Vice President of Advancement and President of the NIU Foundation effective May 1st.
Move.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Ms. Squires is not present, so I'm not asking her to address the board. She, as the president indicated, already has. If there's no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion's approved.
Thank you. That concludes my section.
Thank you. So now we move to the second reading of some policies and amendments to the Board of Trustees bylaws. The Board of Trustees has both policies, standalone policies that are published on its website and are given to trustees when they join the board and when they ask for them. And we have policies within our bylaws. And the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance has been reviewing several policies that we either don't have already and we wish to have, or that we have in some form and we wish to change. What the board has in front of it in its book and what's on the screen here represents, there might be a bit misleading. For example, this policy that you're seeing here, the policy regarding retention of records of the Board of Trustees, looks as though it might be an amendment of an existing policy. What this is an amendment of what was presented to the board on first reading. So this policy does not exist currently, and by this action item today, we will be adopting this policy as it appears in this format. So we'll accept all of those edits, and this policy will become permanent. So why don't we begin then with, if I could ask for a motion to approve the first policy, item 9A1, the policy regarding retention of records of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any discussion of this item? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this policy has been passed. The next item it is not in the book, but was presented to trustees this morning. No, actually, it was emailed to trustees earlier in the week, but I'm first going to ask if trustees have the draft proposed travel and expense reimbursement policy in front of them. Bob? Do you have?
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
It's a loose one.
Oh, that's it right there.
I got it, Twin.
Okay, he's got it. Okay. This is replacing an existing policy. The board has a policy found on its website. This is a new policy. What you see in front of you is an entirely new draft. Even though it looks as though it's an edit of a prior draft, it's an edit of what was introduced on first reading. So is there a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second. Discussion from the trustees. Trustee Muir.
This is just the first reading of this. Is that correct?
No, this is the second reading.
This is the second reading. I'm not sure how to deal with my issue because it's more procedural, and it's the phraseology of the, on the last page, first paragraph. And I'm sure it's not the intent, but it's the way it's phrased that seems a little odd to me. I don't know if you would prefer that. Are we going to vote for the acceptance of this today?
I would
like
to.
This says it's the first reading.
Oh, it shouldn't say that.
Okay.
It should say it was the first reading on November 26th.
Okay. Well, in this it just strikes me as odd.
Okay.
Because it says, trustees may not accept invitations for discounted or complimentary admissions, transportation, lodging, and meals for themselves and a companion from private entities when the invitations are not closely related to their respective duties and responsibilities from the university. I mean, we have lives other than, so the literal interpretation of this one sentence to me does not reflect that we have private lives as well. And it says we cannot accept invitations that are not related to our work here. I think certainly that's not the intent of that sentence, but I would like to see it modified in some way. And I don't know procedurally how you would like to approach that, John.
I think that this calls for a clause at the beginning of the sentence of some kind Mr. Blakemore, do you wish to address this? I understand Trustee Muir's concern. The policy is not intended to regulate the trustees' activity outside of their duties as board members. And so I'm wondering if we have a fix for this.
John, I understand the intent, and I'm just reading the literal interpretation of this sentence.
Makes,
and what it really says,
sense.
Literally, is that you can't accept invitations from private entities for activities that are non-related to your board.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we intend it to be. So either perhaps that's stricken, maybe the fix is that's stricken, because I think it's superfluous. We know that if it's not related to our activities, then it's not related to our activities.
You see, this is the clause.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would like to make the following suggestion, and we could do this in one of two ways. Issues of clarification, the General Counsel's office, after the board has authorized this, can obviously go back and look at this in sort of other areas. And so long as there is no change in the substance or intent of the board, we can make those what I would refer to as clarification or technical kind of changes. So maybe you can authorize us to do that. With respect to this specific provision, however, what I would recommend is that at the end of this paragraph, we explicitly state that the purpose of this provision is exclusively related to those activities that are within the scope of the members, of the board members' duties, respect to their responsibilities as trustee for Northern Illinois University. We can add that sentence, which I think would address your concern.
We just need to not leave this thing sitting there
Exactly. So we can certainly do that, and I would recommend that language. Give me a little bit of, a little bit of leeway.
English.
And I'll put it in English. But we can certainly do that, and you can take action with that caveat, and we can add that.
I'll make a motion to amend my prior motion.
To reflect that the Office of the General Counsel has authority to make a conforming change to clarify that the second to last paragraph on page 4 of this proposal only applies to those activities within the scope of duties as a trustee.
All right, there's a motion for an amendment. Is there a second? There's a second. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none. So we have on the table then this proposal for second reading with the amendment offered by Trustee Strauss based on the concerns expressed by Trustee Muir. Are there any other questions? Trustee Muir, does that satisfy your concerns?
Yes. Yeah.
Are there any other questions or comments about this policy from the board? Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, the motion passes. We move now to item number 9A3, titled Board of Trustees Presidential Succession Policy. Again, there is no existing policy in this case. What you see are the amendments made to the item after its first reading. So what I'm looking here for is a motion.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any discussion of this item by the board? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this motion passes, and we now have a Board of Trustees presidential succession policy. Next item, 9A4, I'm afraid is a little more complicated. Let me first ask if there is a motion to approve this.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion of this motion? Let me just preempt some discussion by indicating some of the history behind this. The existing provision, which should be clear from that which is not amended, would call for the board, in the event that it was electing an officer, If there was no majority in the first ballot, in other words, no individual in that round received five votes or more, the board would then strike from the second balloting all those but the two highest vote getters. I don't know if vote getters is a, can we say that?
A technical legal term.
Yeah. All right, good.
We get the intent.
This amendment was designed to widen that somewhat so that the striking would take place first by striking all of the members who received zero votes. That would leave then on the second ballot all trustees who had received any votes, and we would not be indicating how many they received. So this then takes us through that process with the subsequent striking of more trustees leading ultimately to a ballot of only the two highest vote getters. It provides a little bit more time for interest in trustees for offices to become identified and permits the board to see that as they're voting. Since this has been put together, I have received notice from at least one trustee that there was a desire perhaps for even more freedom. That proposal would involve the trustees going through three successive ballots in which they would have at their disposal or access to any trustees who are eligible for the position. So we would not strike any trustees. So I'm just opening this up. Is there an interest in that approach as opposed to the one that I previously described? Now, the caveat of the second approach would be that in the fourth round, we would ultimately put this to bed. In the fourth round, we would narrow it down to the two highest vote recipients, and either one of those two would win, or we would the chair would declare an impasse, which is currently in the status quo within the capacity of the chair to do after three rounds of voting.
Yeah, Chair, I would support the second version because I think that is less restrictive.
Okay. Trustee Boy supports the second, so that would require then an amendment. Trustee Boy, can I ask that you offer an amendment then to adopt that approach? And because I knew this was coming, I have written this so that the trustees can see it. And I would appreciate everybody's indulgence here, because I would really like to get this passed today.
Thank you. Got you.
So I'll read this. If a majority of votes cast is not achieved by one member for the office in the first balloting, a second balloting shall occur consisting of all eligible members for that office. If a majority of votes cast is not achieved by one member for the office in the second balloting, a third balloting shall occur consisting of all eligible members for that office. At no time during such successive ballots shall the general counsel indicate the number of votes achieved by any member, except if a majority of votes cast is achieved by one member. If no member achieves a majority of the full board during the third balloting, all but the names of the two members who received the most votes shall be dropped from the succeeding final ballot. A tie in the number of votes achieved may result in more than two members remaining eligible on the final ballot. If at the conclusion of the final round of voting, no member achieves a majority of the full board, the board chair shall declare an election, the election an impasse. In the event of an impasse, expressions of interest, vision, and willingness to serve are reopened, and the next election will be conducted at the next regular business meeting or special meeting. This is Trustee Boy's motion, is that
yes,
correct? Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. We are now going to vote on the motion to amend the motion. So all those in favor of the motion to amend the proposal to this one, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, it is the chair's opinion that this is what we are now voting on. So all those in, is there any discussion of this item? Oh my goodness. It's gonna happen. All right. In that case, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
The motion?
No, I think we're okay.
Just stop. Just stop.
The motion passes.
Just stop.
We move now to agenda item 9A5. This is an amendment to the Section 6 of the Board Bylaws, Duties of Officers. This, like the prior motion, or the prior item, is an amendment to the bylaws. This amendment would add a letter H with the title Board of Trustees Liaison, and that that position description and the parameters of that position is described on page 84 in the board packet in blue lines. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on this. This was deemed necessary in order to define a term used in the other policies that the board is adopting today. The board liaison is the, what's the technical term?
Liaison.
No, the keeper of the policy. The keeper of the keys. The
owner.
Owner of the policy. Because the board liaison is identified in the records retention policy as the owner of the policy, we're adopting this so that we actually define the board liaison. Up until this point, the board liaison was not in any bylaws or board regulations. So, is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Second. There's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? This motion has passed. Next, agenda item 9A6. This is an amendment to the bylaws, Article 7, titled President of the University. This began as an item that was in the same legislation as an item concerning the president's home. It was determined that we would split this out and make this instead an item that would be added to the president's duties as described in the board bylaws. You see this on page 85. And so is there a motion to approve this?
So moved.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this passes. I just mentioned item 9A7. This is titled Section 4, Mandate of Presidential Housing. It's also an amendment to Article 7, the President of the University, in the bylaws. This indicates that the President, on a case-by-case basis, the Board shall determine if the President is going to be required to have his or her primary place of residency, the university residency. This is necessary for a number of reasons. It's helpful for the President in his own personal accounting functions, and so it was something that we needed to add to our bylaws. I would not consider it to be a particularly complex matter. So is there a motion to approve this?
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor? Any opposition? No opposition, the motion passes. Item number 98A is an amendment to the existing bylaws that concern indemnification. Indemnification is the obligation of the university to provide representation in the event of a number of different potential issues that can arise legally based on the service or activities that a board member, or the president, or a university employee engages in as part of their active duties to the university. Let me ask for a motion to approve this.
So moved.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion of this item? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion is approved. Congratulations, trustees. We just made a significant alteration in our governance documents, and in my estimation have proven the productivity and the usefulness of the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance, and I greatly appreciate your support. And that concludes the items from the chair. Now I have to refer to my agenda. It's at this point that I ask, are there other matters that come before this committee? Seeing none, the next meeting date is a really good question. I believe it's June 18th or 19th. June 18th is the next regular meeting of the Board of Trustees. And now I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.